Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This Aspire radio program is being aired for the 4th of December 2021, and I'm very grateful you could be with me or stumbled upon me or whatever it was that brought you to the fate of being with me. What I try to do is offer insight into questions that people have posed to me at various degrees of sincerity. Curiosity usually is what it's mostly about, and there's nothing wrong with that. So today we're going to talk about how to live and the difference between the life and the living. And that is a very important thing to understand. What does it mean to have a life? People will say, get a life. What does that mean? What are we talking about here? It seems rather silly to me. What, a life full of what? Drama? Danger? Pleasure? What is it that we see as the meaning of life, a meaningful life? Well, typically, a life is defined by how a person lives and what they are seeking in their livingness. For me, that is absolutely crazy. I don't even understand that. I used to live my life that way, I think. But as I progressed inside my practice and meditation, as I began to jettison the idea of living over the whole effort of life itself, I realized that my living, basically, if I give it to the human part of me, is frivolous, to say the least. And it is full of complications. And I think that's what people expect. And I actually think that's the way people want to live. They like all that drama. They like getting close to danger and then running away from it, that kind of thing. So there is nothing I can do to talk you into life. The only way I can really help anyone is to show them the ludicrousness of their living, how they do their living, and how mindless it generally is to live the way we do just for the sake of avoiding pain and death. And those are the two things that really define the way most of us live. If we can avoid the pain, any pain in our body or any emotional pain that we might be confronted by, then we think that we have at least maybe pushed death away a little bit and we don't have all that to deal with. But that's really not true. That's just an assumption on our part. So I get wonderful emails from time to time from people who are trying to look at their life from a different point of view, and I'm honored to answer these questions. There are two of them. The first one comes from Rick, and he lives in the Northwest. That's what he said. I don't know what that means, but okay. How do I live in this body? I read one of your commentaries that a friend gave me, and it seems that you see things differently than most of us do, that there is a difference between living and life. How do I live in this body, as you talk about in your commentary? Well, I'm very grateful you got my commentary. Somehow it was your fate and destiny to get one of those. So let me get into it a little bit here. How do you want to live in the body? Everybody makes the body more important than what it really is. It is important, but it's not all important. And it's an animal, and you've got to understand that. The founder of the Unity Movement, Charles Fillmore, you know, he was a mystic to a certain point, and then he fell off the wagon like all Westerners do, and he lost it. He, in the 40s, wrote a an affirmation, I guess, or a dictate, or he predicted that he was going to live in his body forever. And it, I talk about it in one of my commentaries. It was totally ridiculous. He said he'd be transformed into a young man, and of course he didn't, and he died. It was really silly. And you know, when that guy, that kind of guy's your leader, you got to question whether or not you're in the right group. And a lot of people just talk about the idea of having a pleasurable body. The whole idea behind religion and even unity is, and I'm a unity minister, so I know this pretty well. It has to do with getting all the things you want and having nothing but pleasure and happiness and la-di-da-di-da, and that's about it. There's no spiritual transformation. There's no recognition of any kind of inner awakening. There's none of that. And when you start getting involved in the human body, you can create philosophy and religion around it to such a degree that it becomes the totality of the philosophy and the religion itself. Your body is an animal. You are here on a limited basis. You're leasing your meat suit, as I like to call it. And while it holds a great deal of energy, and if you treat it well, if you understand it, if you can hear what it is teaching you, you can learn a lot about the energetics of kindness, compassion, love, even. You can understand maybe its instincts and what it is perpetuating in and through itself into your life, making you believe that your genetics and your DNA are very important and your lineage is very important and blah, 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 blah. None of this, like Mr. Fillmore, who was deeply evidently delusional, at the end of his life, maybe even sooner, I don't know. You don't get involved in that. This is not what Buddha taught. This is not what Jesus taught. This is not what great masters teach. They all know the body comes to its rightful end, and it is not meant to live forever. Even the Asians, who I have met in India, who are really into longevity, they say the same thing. It's not meant to be lived in forever. And that's the purpose of the human body. So how do you live in the human body? You live in it with respect. You live in it with compassion. You live in it with mercy. You do everything you can to help it, not for the sake of running away from death or pain. You do these things as a matter of inner discipline, the discipline to take care of something and give compassion to it for the sake of itself, not for the sake of longevity or avoiding pain and death. You do it because it's compassionate. And that eludes everybody. What do you mean do it because it's compassionate? You don't do things unless you get something back for what you do. That's the Western mentality. I take care of my body as best I can, and it has its own mind about what it wants to do and what it thinks of as right or whatever its needs are. You have to develop that intuition that is beyond your body to know how to take care of it, to know what to feed it, how much to feed it, when to feed it, when something is dangerous, when it's not. You know, you feel that intuition. If you go by your instinct, you'll feel your emotions, and your emotions will take you away, and you will never understand what it means to take care of your body because everything will be a threat. So learning how to grow old gracefully is a very important measure. I watch people. They fight their age. They fight growing old. You have to allow yourself to grow old gracefully and take care of the body as best you can, the way you can. And that, Rick, is how you live in the body. To live in the body, but not let the body rule your life as your world. I got to go on. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next question. This comes from Ron in Seattle. I wonder if they're related. I don't know. Ron and Rich. How does one live in this world with the bodies we have that are flawed? And then he puts in parentheses, why are they flawed? And then he goes into the whole thing, if we're the image and likeness of God, you know, our bodies shouldn't be flawed, that kind of thing. I tend to agree with a lot of things that Ron said, and I want to thank him for the email. We should live in the world, but not let the world live in us, as was taught by Jesus, and he was correct at all levels. He was one of the greatest mystics that ever touched the face of the earth. And my respect and my love for his teachings go beyond anything I could ever put into words, ever. So I want to look at this thing from a different point of view. To live in the world, you have to have a carcass. You have to have a human body. But you don't bring into that body the world that we live in through the, shall we say, glamorization of the human body to bring about some kind of pleasure. If you bring pleasure into your body through the world and you make that the sum and substance of your life, such things as anything that constitutes the ego, the vanity, the pride of us. If you do any of that, which we all have at one time or another in our life, we also bring about disease, sickness, and illness, mental and emotional. And no one wants to see this because no one wants to be involved in that kind of insight that does not market well in this world. And if you're not careful, you know, people will turn their backs on you when you start talking about this. But it is true. It's not just what we eat. It's what we bring into our body in the form of the environment of our body that is so deeply important. Now, for instance, we have hate, and we think that there is harmless hate that we can bring into our body that won't do anything to harm our body or harm the meaning of our life. Somebody cuts in front of you while you're driving, you say, I hate that, or I hate that person, or whatever. Little things that happen in the course of a day, and you go, I hate that, I gotta deal with that now. All of that is bringing the world into your body. And all of that has an effect upon the body. Now, none of us lives untouched by this world. It is there. The body is a receptacle that not only receives the confrontations of the world, but also sends out the vibe of that confrontation, not only to others, but to ourselves. So what we are really doing in the course of our lifetime is we are exchanging energies from the world into our body, from our body back into the world, over and over and over again. Some of this is involuntary. You just don't know. And I understand that, which is the body we have inherited through our karma. So understand, we have lived many, many lives in the past, in many, many different worlds. And simultaneously, we're living that right now even. So what I want you to understand is to live in the world is with respect of the energies that you bring into your body and the respect that you send those energies back into the world. I gotta go. I'm running out of time. This new format. Anyway, it is what it is. I hope that helped you. And listen to me, Ron, if you have any other questions, call me. I gave you my phone number. We can talk. Thank you for listening. I'll be back on the air tomorrow with more wonderful questions from my lovely listeners. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.